Welcome to the Starting Messy podcast, where chaos and courage come together to create magic. On this show, we're flipping the script on perfectionism and embracing the messy, imperfect journey of entrepreneurship. I'm your host, Misty Jane, a life and money empowerment coach for people who are obsessed with personal growth. My guests and I are sharing the truth behind what it means to start messy and why it's worth the leap. Because let's be real, all the best stories start with a little chaos. All right, are you tired of just dreaming and ready to start actually doing the damn thing? You and I need to chat. If you're an overthinker with big dreams, it's time to cut out the procrastination and this idea of perfectionism and actually just start taking action. I want to share with you the 4 Steps to Starting Messy workbook, designed to support you in turning your dreams into your reality. Deep dive into figuring out what you really want, pinpoint your blocks, get comfortable with discomfort, and start taking action while staying focused. Head to the bottom of this episode's show notes and snag your free download today. Grab a pen, get comfy, because it's time to take the first steps towards creating the life that you have always wanted. Hello there. Welcome back to the Starting Messy podcast. Today, I am chatting with one of my probably best long distance friends, to be honest, at this point in my life, Jody Brown. She is a hairstylist turned branding and marketing strategist, not just for stylists, but for creative entrepreneurs that really, really are obsessed with creating businesses that give you freedom. She is also the co-creator of Escape to Elevate. And I just could not be more excited to have this conversation with you, Jody, and talk about how you started messy. And I know that you started lots of things, and there's a lot of different directions I know that we can go here. But I want to ask you first, when I asked you, what did you start messy? What is the first thing that pops up in your brain?
Oh, everything I've ever done. So starting messy, even like if we go back to, you know, I've stepped into entrepreneurship on quite a few different occasions. Even like the first time I started I was like 22, 23. And I moved to a town that the only option was to rent a chair. So I did that for a little bit. That was definitely messy. I had no business running a business. I had no idea what I was doing. Very, very short lived. And then even like the second time, which was, I want to say like 27, 28, when I first stepped into, like, I would say like big girl entrepreneurship, which is when I was an independent stylist behind the chair, that was a messy start because it was literally out of necessity. Like the employment agreement that I had was no longer, like, basically it was like, you know, like
not working.
Sink or swim, essentially. And so I started that again with no real idea how to run a business. And then obviously the messiest start I had was stepping away from my business behind the chair completely, terminating my lease, and, you know, just really going all in on my new venture in 2020. So that was probably, and I mean, I invested $5,000 in a mastermind before I ever made a dollar online. I cut all of my backup plans. Like I was like, that's it, sink or swim. And I really did. Like, I think that's kind of like the glamorous thing that people see. What they don't see is that I was like, I will do what it takes to get where I want to go. And that involved, you know, social media management for a stint, because I was like, this will get me closer to where I want to be, right? Like this will allow me, I've talked about this a little bit recently, but like essentially this will allow me to get even more expertise in this one area, because I'm obsessed with mastery. That's something that's very, very important to me. And like, you know, like really sticking to what I know I can help people with. And I think that I started messy in the sense that I was like, I got like real scrappy, and I was like, I don't care what I have to do. I will do what I have to do to make this work.
Yes. Okay. So I love this because in a way our stories parallel. And I think that because majority of the listeners are still in the hair industry at this point, a lot of them can relate. I'm seeing this narrative about people wanting to leave the industry. And I, in 2020, also broke my lease. I paid $1,600 to break my lease, to walk away from my, what, at that point, 17-year career, successful career, by the way, because I wanted something different. I think 2020 brought a lot out in a lot of us of like, okay, I don't really love the way that my life feels and it's time for freedom. I think a lot of us were looking for that freedom, which is kind of ironic because we got our jobs taken away from us and then we were like, I'm so sad, I'm so depressed. And then we were like, I don't want to do this anymore.
What do you think it is though? Like I've pinpointed this. I've thought a lot about this. And what I think it actually is that we like are always told that maintaining the status quo is the safe and responsible option. Right? Like just, and it's not that that's untrue because starting a new business is absolutely going to require more of you. It is going to require, you know, a little bit of time to build in most cases. So it's not that it's wrong advice, but when 2020 happened, I think that this illusion of security that many of us had felt, or this illusion of like, oh, like this is the only way to be quote unquote responsible and safe, was then kind of taken out from under us, right? Yep. We realized that, you know, actually there are no guarantees. And with that being said, why not go after the thing that we actually want?
Yep, exactly. And that's what happened with me. It was like, wait, okay, I actually can live, like my husband and I can live on just his income, which was a huge eye opener as we had just, you know, went through our whole money story. We had gotten out of $48,000 in debt. We had bought our dream house. And then to get my job taken away from me in that time and my income taken away from me in that time, it was like, even though it was a very difficult time, it was this, wait a minute, I had a 5-year plan, okay, before 2020 hit. And my 5-year plan was that I was going to educate. And I didn't exactly know what that was going to look like yet. I just knew that I had something in me that wanted to help other stylists thrive. And when that happened, it was kind of like, wait a minute. So we will be okay. We're going to be okay if I don't make the money and do the things that I am currently doing. Maybe the 5-year plan needs to be sped up. Maybe now is the time. And it was interesting because what I've learned over the last now, you know, going into year 4 is going from a commission salon to being independent is 50, and I might piss some people off with this one, is 50% of turning into an entrepreneur, but that's it. I had a clientele. I had a business. Yeah. I literally just moved my business and had to deal with the back end stuff. It was not starting from scratch. It was not marketing myself. I didn't even need, I mean, I needed to because I wanted to like weed some old people out, but like, it's not what building this coaching business has been, right? And what I realized is when that happened, so when I was like, okay, I'm going to walk away from behind the chair, I'm going to become a coach, I realized what it was really like to actually build a business from scratch. And it is not as easy as you think. And I keep seeing all these people, oh, I want to walk away from behind the chair. I want to do this. I want to do that. And because they see the online picture, they see the after effects of all the work behind the scenes. They do not know what it really takes. And Jody knows, I probably Voxer her monthly crying. So I love, like, this is, you know, why I love these conversations, because I want to bring to light the reality of what it looks like to start something or to continue something, because I think it's important to do the thing, but to also know that there's more to it than what we see online.
I agree with that. And I also want to offer up the flip side, because I see a lot of this like, oh, it's impossible to, you know, like, I think what happened is that a lot of people maybe were, you know, and again, now I'm going to say something that's going to piss people off. I think that what happened is there was a lot of, you know, maybe marketing. There was a lot of people saying, you know, like, just do this. Like, it's super easy and like, blah, blah, blah. And then what happened was people kind of got into maybe the education space, right? And then they realized that it wasn't always going to be easy and exciting. And I think this is where, and I've told you this before, like you and I have had this conversation, but like, I think this is where, like, you know, in 20, like there's always seasons of things. And I feel like there was a lot of conversation the past like couple of years about like things need to be like, let it be easy, let it be aligned and da da da. And while I understand what that advice means for someone who is maybe a more, seasoned entrepreneur, and I am not advocating, by the way, that you like, you know, don't care for yourself or ignore your mental health or your family or any of that stuff. But I will say that I think what happened is there was a lot of these, this narrative about how easy things had to be. So when people got to a hard point in their businesses, which will 100% come up all the time. Mm-hmm. Like I have, you know, by all measurable standards, like been very successful in the past 4 years. And there are still times and like at least on a quarterly basis where I'm like, oh my God, like this is so hard. Like I've never dealt with this before because this is something that is new, or, you know, there's, you know, emotions tied to it or things come up, they don't go as planned. And I think the biggest thing is getting comfortable with the fact that throughout entrepreneurship, throughout life, it doesn't matter if you're an employee or what you do, there will be times where things feel hard. And the people who are able to get to that next level and the people who are able to sustain themselves, especially in the education industry, I think this is prevalent because you don't have as much built-in accountability, right? Mm-hmm. For hair, you have the built-in accountability of the fact that your clients are there. They're in your space, yep. Right? They're booking the appointment, they're doing the stuff. And so, and like, you know, then you have other forms of built-in accountability. And I think that's the biggest like reality slap. And I don't mean that in like a, oh, be realistic. I mean it in the sense that like, it is about your ability to push through. And so there was a bunch of people, and wrap this up soon, but there was a bunch of people I think who got in with this, like, who were kind of sold the dream a little bit about how easy everything has to be. And then when it wasn't easy, then they decided, oh, well, actually education's impossible. And it's, you can't break through and you can't do this. And it's too hard. And there's not, no one's actually making the money they say they're making and all of this other stuff, which is like a whole fresh wave, right? The reality yep. lies in the middle. Right? It's, there are lots of people who are incredibly successful running online businesses. There are lots of educators who don't work behind the chair anymore because they need to run their businesses full time. There are lots of people who do it part time and run their business behind the chair as well. So there is a huge, like, there's a huge spectrum of, mm-hmm. you know, quote unquote success in this industry. But I really, I feel like the two opposing narratives of like, either it's impossible and it's oversaturated and there's too many coaches, that is coming from a place of insecurity, I think. And then the, it's so easy, you know, anyone can do it. Like, I do believe that most people do have something they could teach if they develop the skills to be able to teach it well, if they develop the marketing strategy to be able to get it in front of people. So there's a lot that goes into it. And if you create something that people actually need, right? So
yep.
there's so many things that go into it. And it's like not this overnight success thing. But it's also not a pipe dream. Lots of people are right. doing it. It's just, how are you passionate about? Do you have, and like, if you look at my Instagram, you'll see the word purpose everywhere, right? Like, this is something I feel so strongly about, because I think that if you're just in it to like make a quick buck and, you know, not, you don't want to work behind the chair anymore, you're doing it to escape something. And that can be part of it. But if that's your whole reason, it's very unlikely you're going to have the tenacity and the ability to weather the storms that will inevitably come. Whereas if you have a greater purpose, if you are, you know, like you know what the impact you want to have is, like you're seeing this impact. Like, I was talking to my best friend the other day and she was like, I could never do what you do. And I was like, I could never not do what I do. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't care about all the hard stuff. Like, to me, that's like, it is what it is, right? Because I care about it so much. I think, yeah, that's very long-winded, but that's kind of the flip side of the coin, is that it's not impossible either, right?
So, all right, I want to go back to something that I just heard you say, you know, about scarcity, about, you know, you hear the people who, once it kind of gets hard, then they kind of start acting like it's not possible and blah, blah, blah. Was there a time in your career in building your business, whichever business we want to talk about, that you felt that way?
100%. Yeah, various points. I've definitely felt that way. And I think this is something where it's like an incremental increase I've noticed as I've gone through like my business. You know what I mean? Like, I think that some of the things that now feel normal felt impossible at times. I think that I don't know. Like, there was a lot of things that I was like, there's no way this is going to work out. And then it did. Like, the difference is, yes, I felt that way, but I still took action on the things that I didn't think I could have. Like, so, yes. You know what I mean? Like, so, and like, I mean, even other points, like, there were times where I remember being like 26, 27, like kind of when I went independent, and I was like, I'm going to open a salon. And I remember talking to my dad, and my dad's like, just wait 5 years, like, don't make, and thank God that didn't work out. You know, because I definitely have found my purpose and my passion where I am now. But, you know, I think that there's always going to be times, there's probably still things that I subconsciously don't think I can have, that I'm working towards, you know what I mean? So yeah, I think everyone deals with that. And I don't know anyone that doesn't, honestly.
I want an example. So I have a million examples. I mean, when I first started working with you, I think my biggest block was marketing in general and talking about what I actually have to offer, you know, and you would always say to me, like, Missy, people don't know what you have to offer if you don't talk about it. And I think that I'm slowly getting, I think I'm out of that for the most part. I mean, my toe still might be in the water a little bit from time to time, but, you know, but I just remember just having this block around certain things that you would have me do. And now that I'm doing them, I'm like, oh, I was just uncomfortable. That's all. And I still feel a little uncomfortable sometimes, you know, but it's not like it used to be now. And you know what I mean? I think about when I first started doing hair and doing consultations, I remember being terrified. I didn't want the client. I didn't want a new client. I don't want to do a consultation. That's terrifying. Now you put a new client in my chair, I don't even break a sweat. My hands aren't clammy. I'm just like, hey, welcome. Let's chat. You know what I mean? And I think that we forget that when we're starting something, it's uncomfortable and we have to do it anyway.
Yeah. Okay. So you want like an example of something. So one of the things that I can think of at the beginning was like with launching and things like that, I was really scared to do live webinars or live challenges. And the reason I was scared is I was scared that it came from a place of comparison. First of all, I was scared that not enough people would show up. And if not enough people showed up, that I wouldn't look successful. Like if I only had, you know, whatever number of people register, that would mean something about me. So now I can look back and analyze that and know that's why. At the time I wasn't sure though. I just knew that I was like, I was scared, right? Like and that's why I'm so glad that I had a coach and I had accountability at that time, because I was more, at the end of the day, I was more embarrassed to cancel things because of my fear, because I really respected my coach, than I was to go through with it, right? So that was kind of like the dynamic that really pushed me. But I remember, so the first, I've done a lot of live webinars, I've done live challenges. I remember the first time I sold like $10,000 like live. Like that was something that I never ever thought I could have. And I don't know, I actually want to say it was like 8,500. It wasn't quite, because someone had joined like after, but on the actual webinar, like I had, you know, I wasn't like fully, like I went into it and I was like, you know what? Like I am just going, I was really passionate about it. It was when I first redid my program for Beauty Biz Brand Academy, I want to say. And I was just pumped. And I showed up and I taught this class and I just like introduced it at the end. And that is was always the part for me that felt the hardest. I think that's the case for a lot of people. Like, you're great when you're teaching. The second you feel like you're selling, it's scary and like you get all weird about it. Because we've all done it at one point. And I think that was the first time of like, that's a specific example of something I never thought was possible. Because up until that point, I'd had a couple people join live, but you know how like at the time, like I was listening to a bunch of these, this was back in like 2021 too. So I was listening to all these like big gurus who were like, no, you have to like get people to enroll live on the webinar. And I was like, I don't really believe, I didn't buy into a lot of like the pressure stuff ever. Like that was never really something I did a lot of. But just that I never thought because of that, I would be able to do that live, I would be able to like have people enrolling and excited about it and all of that kind of stuff. And so that was like a example of when I did something that I did not think was possible.
Yeah. It's so true though. Like it's so, I think that's the part of anyone like trying to build something, right? Like you have this, you have the thing that you want to do. You have the thing that you're excited about. You have the thing that you're passionate about, but there's always going to be the stuff that doesn't excite you, right? Mm-hmm. There's always going to be some part of it in any job. I can't think of any job where all of it is like perfect, you know, and everything is what you want to do. And it is interesting when you have to kind of put both together and I find that I get to be that little kid that's like, I don't want to, you know, like, ugh.
Or it's like we think, and this is something that my mentor that I work with now taught me is like, we think that we're misaligned when we're bored or when we don't feel comfortable with something. It's not misalignment. It's just like, how do you get confident doing something? You do it. Like we wait until we think we need to wait until we're confident, but really, why would we be confident? Why would you be confident doing something you've never done before? Like, where would that confidence come from? You know what I mean? So the fact that we expect to have that before taking action, that I think is a huge block for a lot of people. And it holds them back from maybe doing the thing. And like, you know, people who like I've had people, I've worked with like tons of educators that are so amazing. Cause that's like probably my biggest thing when it comes to the education industry is like, I only want to work with people who want to make a difference. I don't want to work with people who just want to throw, you know, 7-figure coach on their Instagram bio. That's not my jam. I'm not saying that's not an incredible accomplishment because it is, but I think it's like the purpose-driven piece is really important to me. And a lot of the time it's like marketing is weird because people expect to be good at it, like without knowing anything about it, right? Like it's this weird pressure that a lot of people that I end up working with put on themselves. And it's like, like, especially like maybe if you've come from a place where you were like an influencer or like, you know, doing a lot of like content creation, right? Because you're like, well, content creation, that's marketing. But really they're two different skill sets. And so I think that's like one of the biggest things that like, you know, I've seen people who've like come and gone in the education space. And I watch and I'm like, oh, like if only they would have just like gotten clear on their messaging and like they would have like put the time into the marketing piece, like they have something amazing. And I think it's just like not maybe knowing where, or maybe it's this like misrepresentation that everything is so easy and like, you know, all you have to do is post on Instagram, but it goes so much deeper than that. Like that's Instagram is just like the medium, right? It's not like the whole shebang. So I don't know. I think that's like the biggest thing that like frustrates me is like, there's so many incredible people who could be making such a difference and there's so much room. Like I actually was looking at stats because I'm putting something new together for educators, and 43% of hairstylists in 2019 were willing to invest in online education.
Mm.
That number is probably increased like a ton, right? And how many carousels do you think there are? There's like probably like what? At like let's conservatively say there's a million hairdressers in, you know, like Western countries or whatever. Like I think that's probably undershooting it, but like 43% of that, like how many, like, and nobody takes one class. Nobody learns from one educator and is like, all right, then I'm educated. Like,
done.
Like, so why do we, like, why are we letting all this crap get to us that there's too many educators or there's, you know, it's out oversaturated or whatever. Like, it's just madness. There are so many people that could be making such a difference in their lives and in other people's lives that are too scared to put themselves out there. And
yeah,
I get it. It's hard, but like working through that block, oh my God, it's life changing. Like it really is.
Well, and let's talk about the investment for a second, because if I look back on my whole journey, I invested in a education foundation with Elizabeth Fay in 2020. I'm pretty sure I signed up for it in 2020. I was making no income. I was about to walk away completely from my career. And I invested, I don't know how much it was. I'm going to guess it was probably $5,000, something. It was thousands of dollars, right? And I didn't really have it. And I invested in it. And I will tell you, I learned so much on just how to start my business. And I don't know if I ever would have fully started it. I think I would have been that person that would have tried, threw some four posts on Instagram, nobody bought anything, and I just probably would have disappeared. But I invested in this education that helped me continue. It helped me start. You know, did I need more education as I learned new things? Absolutely. Did I need more you know what I mean? Like, and I think that there's this so much fear around the financial investment. But we're thinking too much about what we're losing and we're not thinking about what we're actually gaining. So what is something that you have invested in? Or give me just like a good example of a time that you made a scary investment that ended up actually like catapulting you further.
Okay. First thing I'm going to say on this is nobody freaks out about putting down their beauty school investment.
Well, my beauty school investment was $250, so...
Amazing. Yeah. Okay. That was not the case for me.
Botec is amazing.
My point is that when you're going to get like a quote unquote like education, like nobody bats an eyelid about, you know, putting like, I actually interviewed someone who had a doctorate in something they never even ended up working in. Like, I don't know what that is in the US, like, because I'm not from the US. But like, that's got to be what, like at least 100K, you would think, to get a master's degree, right?
I don't know, but I know it's a lot.
Yeah. So that's the thing, right? Is like that education, like I'm not telling you to go and just like invest in the first person you see on Instagram. Like, I think you do have to do your due diligence and like really figure out like, you know, what is it that I'm going to learn? What do I want to learn? Do I want to learn from this person? Do I want to be in their world? All of that kind of stuff. But when it comes to the actual skill-based education that you need, that is something that any career requires. That is the base fundamentals, right? You want to do hair, you have to get educated and go to hair school. You want to do, like for me, I wish I could list all the things. I have invested in copywriting school. So I did a copywriting course to become like, you know, sales conversion copywriting, because a lot of what I do with my clients is like auditing their sales pages, like figuring out funnels, writing, you know, all of those kinds of things. I didn't start offering that service until after I had educated myself on copywriting. I have taken tons of launch focused education. Like, I probably say at this point, if I had to guess, like probably like I've invested like 50,000 in the past 4 years into education minimum, bare minimum. And
oh, same. More than that.
And a lot of that was skill based for me. I think and you know what, as I'm saying that, I feel like that's low, but I'm trying to think back to like the skill based ones that I use on like a day-to-day basis. Like, cause there's probably things I invested in that I maybe didn't need to invest in. Right. But like, when I think about like what I actually needed to invest in to be able to like Because like, and I stay in my wheelhouse. Like I teach marketing. I run a marketing agency. Like I host retreats where we focus on building your brand and marketing. Like I'm very much in my zone because that's what I love and that's what I know I can help people with. And so like when I just think back, like, yeah, copywriting, launching, like social media management, that was another thing I signed up for like almost immediately at the same time as the mastermind I was in, was a social media management program so that I would be able to effectively do that. And also like the systems and the skills and the technical skills that you learn. So that's really my point here is like, I've done a lot of education that did a lot for me in terms of like vibes, you know what I mean? In terms of like my mindset and all of that was immensely valuable. But I also invested a lot into the technical skills required to do the job that I do now, like any other career.
Yeah. So you invest in the technical skills and then you just automatically know how to do it. True or false?
No, I would say again, it's kind of like hair, right? Like you learn from doing. So I think the thing is that when you invest in the technical skills, it's not even like marketing, for example. Something that's really cool is like the course that I did, that was like for hairstylists, and you know, like my branding education is being reworked as I predominantly work with educators at this point. But I do coaching, like I still coach entrepreneurs, right? So there are people who right. are hairstylists that I still work with. But basically, like, I think it's like anything. You don't just like buy a course and then know how to do it. If you were to say purchase a course, right, on say branding and marketing. So let's say it's like, I'm going to use the example of like my first course. I can see the difference in the people who purchased it. And I can see in Kajabi, like watched everything, implemented everything. And so many of those people have progressed a ton in their, like you can mm-hmm. see the results, like on their websites, with their
copy. Like they've watched it, they've taken on the information and they actually did it.
Yes. And one of the things that's interesting is you can see how many times people logged in. Most of those people log in multiple times. Like it's like you go in and you're watching it like multiple times. There's a couple lessons in the copy. I've bought lots of copy courses, but one of the ones that I bought was The Copy Cure by Marie Forleo and Laura Belgray, who is a famed copywriter. Like she's amazing. Her company is called Talking Shrimp. And that was a really great one. It's very much like technical, like this is what you do type thing. And often I'll put the headlines one on in the background when I'm writing sales pages. So I'll be like, ooh, yes, this, and I'll like use it to like edit, like I'll write it. And then I'll be like, let me just go through this and make sure that I've got everything here that is necessary. Like from a technical perspective, right? It's like when you check your haircuts. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. when you do a haircut, you still go through at the end, right? And you check everything. Like you do the like whatever, right? So do I think that you automatically become good at something when you swipe your credit card and buy a course? Absolutely not. Do I think that if you take the education, it's like if you watched, like if you went to hair school and then you never picked up a pair of shears, you would not be a good hairstylist.
Right.
The same is true with any skill, literally any skill.
Yeah. I mean, implementation is so important, you know, and I do think that there is this thing that happens where people feel like they need more information to build confidence. So I'm going to buy all the courses. I'm going to take all the classes. I'm going to put as much information in my mind as I possibly can so that I'm confident in this. And then a lot of times if people are not actually walking through life using this information or being aware of this information or actually practicing this information, then nothing happens, right? And then they end up being overwhelmed with the information because it just feels like it's just a bunch of stuff floating around in your mind instead of organized. information. So
are you looking for like confidence, or is it just like a fancy form of procrastinating? Like that's
mic drop, Jody.
It's like not the thing that people want to hear, but it's true, right? So maybe like that's another thing to, I think, consider is like when you like, if you're not confident in something, learn it, right? So like if you're not confident in something, learn it. As soon as you have learned it, take action. Like I know a lot of people where I've taken the same class as them and they were like, oh, that class was terrible. Like I didn't get anything out of it at all. And I'm like, you didn't do any of it. Like, how can you say that it wasn't a good, you know what I mean? Like, and this is like, you know, it's something I've even laughed about with someone who I was friends with. We were in the same mastermind and I was like, dude, you haven't even done anything like of this that was taught. So like, how can you say it wasn't effective?
Okay. You know? So I love that you're saying this, because this is a great, I'm excited about this. So you and I are doing this thing right now where we are reading this book together and we are discussing it daily. It has been one of those things when the first time I read the book, now we are reading, we're on like fourth time, I think, of the same book that we're, you know, essentially we're doing a study thing together of this book. And the first time I listened to it, I got some information, and some of it I was like, that's not for me. Mm-hmm. What that really meant is I don't understand that because it's something I've never heard. Yes, it's something I've never heard before. I don't get that. That's not meant for me. Now, we are on the fourth time of listening and studying this book. I now understand those things. I now literally, they are for me. They're for everybody. But because the first time I listened to it, it wasn't familiar. It sounded weird. I pushed it away. I think that happens a lot. A lot of us want something different, but we push away something different.
And I think that's, you know, I have a recent example of this. So like I have, you know, I have my, like when AI came out, right? And there was all of these things where like with AI, like I saw people using it in a way that I didn't like. And I was like, that's it.
AI is the worst.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then I was like, you know what? No. Cause I like, you know, have been really on a development journey. And so after like a month or so, I would say, I was like, you know what? Let me get into this. Let me like figure this out. And like, see where I can utilize this. So I actually bought a bunch of different, like just little like AI toolkits essentially that were like, oh, this is how to use it better and da 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 da. And what I will say is I still think AI is a terrible copywriter. I don't use AI to write your captions. Please, people are way less likely to engage. I unfollow most people who I notice are using AI for their captions, and using it to like help you outline is very different than copy pasting it. But I will say there's a ton of really useful applications that I now use AI for in my business. If I would have just been like, oh, I hate when people use it for captions, so therefore everything that it does is trash, then I probably would still be taking a really long time to write my podcast show notes, for example.
Yeah.
Amazing use of AI. Like, you know, I use it to like add things up sometimes. Like if I'm like, I have like a huge amount of numbers or I'm doing like a budget for something, I'll use AI for that. So I didn't like it for one purpose, but that doesn't mean that it's like completely not for me, right? So that would be kind of like a recent example of, you know, maybe I'm going to try and spin this to like our book. Maybe it's like, you don't necessarily resonate with the word. That's another example. The word God, right? For some people, they really resonate with it. For some people, it's a massive trigger, right? So that is something. But instead of being like, okay, now I won't talk to anyone who uses that word, or like I won't read any book that even references that word, I think it's like a really big sign of personal growth when you can take what you need and leave the rest and actually get curious instead of like shutting off.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that that's what growth is all about. It's about growing. And if we're constantly saying no to new information, even though we want growth, yeah. you're not going to grow. Yeah. It's just not going to yeah. happen. So let's talk about that. How much can your business grow if you are not growing personally? Like, what is your journey with personal development and you starting your businesses?
You know, this is a good question. So I definitely have been on, I don't think I would have necessarily started my business if it weren't for the fact that I started more of like a personal development journey. And it's kind of interesting. So like I got introduced to personal development, I think, through the world of entrepreneurship. So like when I first, this back in like 2015 or 2016, I want to say, maybe 2015. So I started listening to a lot of podcasts because I was going back to work at like a brand new salon. I just had my son. I'd been off for like 18 months or whatever because childcare was impossible to find for me. My husband worked out of town, all the things. So I started listening to podcasts. I don't think there was even a hair specific podcast back then. I think the first one maybe started the year after that, but I was listening to any, like I was like marketing. This is what I need to learn in order to grow my clientele. And I've always just been really interested in it, right? So one of the podcasts I started listening to was Being Boss. It was like a web designer and a brand designer. And they, it was entrepreneurship. And I was introduced like by my wanting to learn and like the Gold Digger podcast too. That was another one. So by wanting to learn about marketing, I was introduced to the world of entrepreneurship. By being introduced to the world of entrepreneurship, I was introduced to the world of personal development because I think they go hand in hand, 100%. My favorite book I actually learned about. Missy's laughing because I can't say the title of this book without saying, and this is my favorite book. And I don't even know if it's like still my favorite content or if it's just like the one that like gave me the courage to literally change my life. And that's why it's so special to me. But like that was introduced to me on a podcast that I was listening to about marketing. And so I bought that book.
And the book is How to Be a Badass.
Yeah.
You're a badass. You said your favorite book. You didn't say the name.
That's true. And actually, no, I'm lying. I bought that book like when it came out, when there was a whole bunch of like hullabaloo about it. So I think that was in like 2012 or something like that.
So and then you didn't read it for like a year or two, right?
No, because I opened it and on the first, I didn't read it for like, when did that, whenever that book came out, I think it was like 2012, I want to say. But basically, I opened the book and on the first page, it says something about God or spirituality. And I was
2013.
So, yeah. Okay. So 2013, I was so closed off to the idea of spirituality and God. And it triggered me to the point that I literally put down the book and didn't read it. I was like, nah, this is bullshit. Next. And so then I probably read that book. If I bought it in 2013, I probably didn't read it for 5 years. So,
oh, wow.
Because it takes a minute too. It's not like you discover personal development and you're like, I'm changed. Everything right. about me is now different, right? It's a process. It's a development. And so that for me was like, I think when I was like, you know, learning about marketing and learning about all these things and then and pushing myself and I went independent because I had to essentially and like, you know, I was able to, luckily, because I had learned so much about marketing. And I think that was what gave me the courage to stop blaming shit on everyone else, right? Like, and that's something that I still am kind of embarrassed to admit, honestly, because like, I very much was someone who like, would be like, oh, well, you know, my boss is crazy. Or like, oh, well, you know, this person is like it's totally all their fault. Or like the economy or whatever. Like I would just blame anything so I didn't have to take personal responsibility for my role in situations. And I would say that is the part of personal development that I think is the most important for entrepreneurship is accountability. calling yourself on your own bullshit and being able to just like pull yourself out of it. So when we talk about starting messy, like I was like really, like I said, I think I read that book in like 2018 or maybe even 2019 at some point. I don't know. And that is when I started like taking online courses. I started like, I'd already gotten really into podcasts, but I got more comfortable with the idea of investing in myself and, you know, working on myself being a worthy enough project. And I think throughout my entrepreneurship life, I'd say the first couple of years, I only did personal development because I was like, this will make my business better. Now I do personal development to make myself better. And that reflects in my business. So,
you know, I love to hear that.
That was a really long-winded answer. Sorry, friend.
But I mean, it's so true. I really think that you cannot build past what you have built within yourself. Yeah. And what I realize is every time I get in a funk about my business, it's some type of self-worth issue or self-confidence issue that it's what it actually is. It really has nothing to do with lack of clients or lack of this or lack of that. It's something within myself that is blocking my business. Wow. So it is important to kind of do both. Like, I'm just such an advocate of like, and don't get me wrong, there are people out there who probably aren't into personal development that have grown huge businesses. I don't think I'm sure there's some unhappy situation there. Like, if you're building a business to prove your success to other people, what's that going to look like in the end? Right? Like, would it, you know?
And also personal development doesn't necessarily have to be like woo-woo either. Like, there's like,
it does not.
Because like, even when we talk about personal development, like there might be some people who've built successful businesses without doing it, but the majority of like people who you see, even like athletes, like executives, CEOs of businesses, like all these things, like they all have executive coaches, right? Yep. So like, and coaches and in general. So like sometimes personal development, like I feel like the woo side of things and personal development have gotten really intertwined. And I think that's because to an extent, like, you know, talking about like abundance and stuff like that, like a lot of people think that's really like woo in terms of like concept, but I don't think that you necessarily have to be like a super spiritual person in order to really benefit from personal development. And there's a lot of stuff out there that doesn't mention it at all that is still really, really helpful. So like, you know, I think that it's like a proven thing. It's not just like something that like, you know, like it's not about like crystals and like yoga mats and all that kind of stuff. Like it's about like really thinking differently.
Yes. And I will say too, as somebody who was like anti quote unquote woo woo for a long time, it's also a lack of information. It's a lack of education. There are things that I do now and understand now that 4 years ago, I'm like, absolutely not. That's stupid. That's magic. Like that's dumb. Yeah, where now that I understand it and I've learned certain things, I'm like, oh, now I get it.
I think the process of personal development too, like even if you're someone who's really closed off initially, I do think like part of the process is becoming a little bit more open-minded, right? And like
you have to be.
Yeah.
I think the whole point is awareness, right? The whole point is like, okay, like it's awareness around how you speak, how you think, what you do. You know, and then it's taking personal responsibility for the only thing that you can control, which is yourself, because you can't control anything else on the outside. And I do think that there's so many layers. So like your personal development journey can just start with, oh my gosh, I'm actually in charge of my life.
Yeah,
that's it. And then you learn that and you start understanding what that actually means. You start implementing that in your daily life. And then you learn a little something new. Yeah. And then you start being aware of that and you start you know what I mean? And it's this constant never ending journey of getting to know yourself, getting to know what makes you feel good, getting to know what doesn't make you feel good, you know, grieving the things that you have to walk away from to continue to feel good. Like, it is just so many layers. But I think a lot of it does come down to a little bit of ignorance, a little bit of like, I don't understand that. I don't understand crystals. They're not my thing. I have some because I've been given them. I don't understand them. Do I really want to? Not really. So I don't really care if I'm ignorant in that area. Other people love them, you know, help them so much. That's fine. You find what works for you, you find what doesn't.
Well, exactly. And that's the thing, right? Is it's like there's certain things that are like I feel like that get lumped together that don't belong together. Like that's kind of all I was trying to say is like, I don't think that like you need to have like all of that woo stuff in order to benefit from personal development. Even if you have no interest in it, you're like, I never want to do any of that stuff. Like, I don't think that you have to in order to get to like where, like there are things that are like fully proven, like meditation has been studied forever. And that is beneficial without a doubt. Breath work, physiological, has been studied, right? Like, you know, things like a growth mindset, like these are all things that like have been studied, are factual. So like, I think if you're someone who's more scientific minded too, like there's a space for that. And I would say I probably fall in the middle. Like I, you know, like there's a lot of stuff that I just don't, I'm just not interested in. Like I'd probably try it. Like if I was with, you know, friends who are into that, like I'm not closed off. I'm not triggered by it anymore. Right. That's the thing. But I'm like, does this necessarily need to be a part of my everyday life? Like, no. What does need to be a part of my everyday life is things like, you know, making sure to my lovely Jen Sincero calls it go to the spiritual gym, which is essentially just like, it's like exercise. Like if you work out for a year and then you never work out again, you won't keep the muscle tone, right? If you, you know, read a couple personal development books and then never do anything about it again, then you're not going to continue to grow in that mindset region, right? So I think it's like keeping it top of mind and making sure you're always working towards something and having that growth mindset. And again, that's part of that like tenacity piece that is really important.
Yes. Okay. So I kind of want to like summarize this whole conversation because it started with, you know, kind of starting messy and not necessarily like having the purpose, right? Not just like starting for like, I want to make a bunch of money, but like actually having like, there's a reason that I want to start this thing. There's a reason that I want to do this. There's something deeper behind it, right? What do you feel like that is like the first step to like, what is your first three steps to starting messy? Let's put it that way.
This is a good question. I think, so for me, like when I think about like starting messy, I think that everyone feels like they need to have all of this stuff like set up, like in order to start doing the thing. Like people think they need all, like they need, you know, the fancy website, they need, and I like, they need this thing. They need the like perfect, like offer, whatever. Like they think they need all of these things to do something. And in reality, sometimes it's like looking in order to like get something off the ground. For me, a business needs to be something that people want. Like it needs to be something that people are willing to invest in. Right. So getting that piece first, I think is really, really important. And then once you start like helping people, you start like getting that revenue stream going a little bit, then you can do all that other stuff. Like all of that other stuff will come into place. So for me, the first thing about starting messy was like I left my career behind. Like I left my job behind. There's several points in the past 4 years where I've been the sole breadwinner in my family. Right. My husband's job is very contract based, and 2020, like he is a tradesman. Like they weren't having these huge jobs with these huge camps and stuff in the middle of a pandemic. Right. So I very much like got scrappy and was like, okay, how am I going to make money? Right. I think for me, that's step one for starting a business messy, at least like figuring out how to actually like, it's not a business until someone's paid you to do it, right? What do people need? How can you help them? How can you get in there and get closer to what you want to do? So for me, helping people with like content, I was teaching hairstylists how to do, how to like market themselves on Instagram and build a brand. I've reached out to like, I don't know, a dozen people that I knew. And I was like, hey, like I am starting this new business. Like I had, and I'd already been like the go-to. I'd already kind of like helped my friends with stuff and all that. Cause it was like a really avid interest for me and something I'd been doing in my own business. And I had a couple of people be like, yeah, I would love help with that. So I started coaching them. Like I started doing the thing. And that is like step one is do it. Do the thing that you want to do. Like that's really what it comes down to. Maybe you'll hate it and you can save yourself a whole bunch of time. You know what I mean? So step one, do the thing. I think step two for me was getting all of the, like after starting to do the thing, I was like figuring out the commonalities. I was figuring out, you know, like the messaging really strongly. I was really doing everything in my power to understand my people. And then number three was building out the supporting mechanisms for all of that. So that would be my, hopefully that's helpful, my three steps.
What would you say to somebody who has an idea? They have an idea, they have something a desire. It doesn't even have to be a business. It can just be something in their life that they desire. And they're just like, you know, completely blocked off by perfectionism and overwhelm and stress, and they just don't know where to start. What is the one thing you would say to them?
I think this is a hard question because like there is, if you really don't know where to start, like I would say, expose yourself to people who have what you want. That would be my first step there because that is huge. If you're like, I really want this thing and I have no idea how to get it, that for me was why I hired my first coach. She had a successful business, a successful online business doing helping hairstylists. And that was what I wanted more than anything at the beginning. That was like my calling. So I got in her vicinity. I got in her room. I started just really, you know, like absorbing it. So this can be the case regardless of what it is. Like if you're like, I really want to start, like I want to learn how to like, I don't know, speak Italian. That's something else I'm working on. Do you know anyone that speaks Italian? Could you maybe put yourself in a room with somebody who speaks Italian? Could you start like, could you sign up for Duolingo? Even like what's like the first easiest step that you can take to get you where you want to be? And then the other thing too is that path of least resistance. Like no matter what it is, I think people build up all these walls to what they want when in reality it's like, okay, so you want to like, I'm trying to think of an example that's not work related. Say you want to be a stay-at-home mom, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, so I need to do this, I need to do this, I need to do this. And then by the time you're done, like going through all this, you're kind of like talking yourself into like why you can never actually have what you want. And maybe it's like, how can I actually like stop measuring by something that has nothing to do with what I want? So it's like, maybe you're measuring in your head, like money. And like really what you need to be measuring is like, how can I actually, like if I need a certain amount of money, what's the path of least resistance to get that so that I can get to my end goal? Like, it's hard. Like I said, I very much
like reverse engineering it.
And honestly, like, I think this is definitely your wheelhouse. Like for me, I am so focused on my zone of genius that like, even when it comes to like I have a life outside of my business, obviously for me, but my focus in my business and my expertise is in helping people get visible, market their businesses, you know, step into like get comfortable being seen as an educator, as an entrepreneur, like marketing, growing, refining, scaling, all of that. That's where I fit in. If someone actually wants to help like getting something off the ground, I would say my first step would be hire you.
That's like, you gotta get out of your own head. You know, I mean, that's the thing. Like too many, you're in your head too much. Like forever, if you're listening to this and you're like, damn it, like they're really like, God, they're right. And I need to do it. You're in your head too much. Like you need to start doing it. And then you will slowly work your way out of your own head. And I think that's what I'm really good at helping people with, to be perfectly honest.
Totally. And it's funny. I just had this like aha moment that it's the same with like marketing, right? And it's the same with life. It's like, you know how we always talk about, well, like you and I always talk about, and I have this conversation with so many of my clients. They're like, I don't know what the message is. Like, I don't know. Like, I know what I help people with. I know what I do. Like, this is what I do for my clients. And it's when you're too close to it, it's like you can't see the forest for the trees, right? So having someone in your corner who can zoom out and actually like look at a bird's eye view and pull the pieces together and help you untangle it, like, sometimes, like, you know, I'll have a 30-minute call with someone about a sales page. I'll be like, let's change this. Like, this is not like these order isn't right. Like, that's why it's not converting. And that can be the catalyst. It's the same thing when it comes to a big goal or a life. Like, that is the power of coaching and mentorship, right? Is sometimes you are too close to your own stuff to untangle it and see it objectively. And so I think that having someone come in and be able to help you with that is a really, really huge asset. And like I said, there's a reason that every successful person, be it athlete, musicians, executives, anyone, has a coach.
Yep. Amen to that. I mean, you can only see your own perspective. I mean, that's it. You need other people to help you open your eyes a little bit more.
If you're not where you want to be, then you're not going to be. It's like Einstein said, right? Like a problem cannot be solved with the same thinking that was used when it was created.
Yes.
So change your thinking, right? If you're going to change your life.
I love that. Jody, thank you so much. As always, thank you for helping me with this pivot. Thank you for always having such impactful conversations on the podcast, off the podcast, everywhere. I will link all of your info in the show notes. And any last words for the listeners?
No, just I think the only thing,
not to put you on the spot or anything.
You know, I actually do have something. And I've been thinking a lot about this. And I think that if you have a desire to do something, if you have a calling, if you have something where nobody really gets it, but you just feel like there's something you need to do, even if it doesn't make sense to anyone else, that is not by accident. That's not there by accident. And so I just want to encourage anyone who's listening to not allow popular conversations or trends or anything like that make you feel bad about what you want. And even earlier when I said like, it's not a good enough motivator to just like want to make a bunch of money. You need to have a purpose. That is true. But there's also nothing wrong if you do also want to make a lot of money, or you do want to, you know, take more time off, or you don't want to do the career you've been doing for the past 20 years. It's okay. Don't let anyone make you feel like shit about what you want.
Amen. Jody, thank you so much.
Thank you, my friend.
Once again, thank you so much for listening to the Starting Messy podcast. I hope that this inspires you to get out of your own way and start messy. If you like what you heard, please share it, leave a review, and tag us on social media. I'll talk with you on the next one.